Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Happy Turkey Week to you. I think I selected the perfect show to start the holidays because everybody's going to eat. Everybody's going to forget about their health for a little while. And everybody's going to just give each other a good time. And that's what the holidays are about. That's why I have selected today's show on the large intestine. Because if there is an organ in your body you're going to abuse over the next month, it's going to be the large intestine. Diverticulitis, polyps, and colon cancer. Hopefully no one's dealing with any of this. Hopefully no one's going to have a blow up. But over the holidays, as we stuff our faces with all those wonderful holiday foods, you do set up the ecosystem of large intestine for big trouble. And this is what I want to emphasize on the show today. It's not so much that you understand the colon, the large intestine, words like diverticulitis, polyps, that all-important colonoscopy that you do every year to make sure you're okay, colon cancer. It's not so much that you understand these individually as you understand that your large intestine is an ecosystem. It is a vast, complicated ecosystem that needs to be understood as a complex ecosystem, simple but complex. Profound, which is to say deep and yet simple. And if you can see your large intestine that way, well, then you can have real health down there. So we've got the classic Western allopathy. We don't need to discuss that. The colonoscopy once a year to tell you the good news or the bad news is not preventative. Well, holistic medicine takes a shot at it. And my emphasis to you today is that while each and every one of you may suffer and have had interchange with different parts of problems in the pathologies, whether you've had parasites, whether you've had constipation, whether you've had appendicitis, whether you've had diverticulitis, while each of you may have had intercourse with any of these different issues, what's missing too often is that you understand the multitude of systems that are looking to synergize in that large intestine. And if you can understand that there's a music, so to speak, that must be played within that hollow 6-foot tube, if you can understand that that music has to sound a certain way as a product of synergy between operating systems, well, then you can understand how to have profound health there. Taken in a particulate way, breaking down each aspect. Did you do your parasite cleanse? Do you go to the bathroom 2 to 3 times a day? Have you done a colon cleanse? So on and so forth. Understanding them individually, this really isn't going to get you what you want. So let me elaborate. First of all, as always, you've got to get to the anatomy. You got to do the basics. So the basic anatomy of the large intestine. Get to the website. If you're new to the show, that's straighttalk.cc, not .com, straighttalk.cc. All right. You're on the site, hopefully. Let's go to the inside of the large intestine. Picture number one. People hand me these pictures all the time. That's the inside of a healthy large intestine. Hopefully that's the way yours looks. This one's been nicely cleaned. Doesn't always look like that. It's not bleeding. There's no ulcerations. You can't even see feces there. There's no polyps, no growths. There's no holes in it, as in diverticulitis, diverticulosis, losis. Well, that's you as a spring chicken, the teenage years, the inside of that large intestine. Now let's take a look at where that could go. Let's drop down all the way to the end there. Look at picture 27. There's a growth. That's a polyp. That's what they snip. They don't snip them. They can become cancerous. So if you've got one, you should snip it. Why risk it? Sometimes you have to have acute surgical intervention and then get healthy as fast as you can. That's the way to look at this. Acute surgical intervention and then get healthy as fast as you can. Don't skip your colonoscopy, especially if you've got cancer in the family, cancer of the colon in the family. Don't skip it. Cancer in the colon is one of those cancers that you could do so much to prevent by early detection. Kind of like breast cancer. No one should really get sick and have feet taken out of your large intestine when we have such wonderful detection methods. So don't go macho holistic. Go intelligent holistic. And understand, really, in the ideal of it, there's only one medicine, the medicine that works. Whether you're all the way to the left or you're all the way to the right, you've missed the point. There's pop. Now, look at this. This is like potholes, potholes inside your large intestine. Go to picture 28. There's picture 28. Now, those are diverticula. Those are holes in the large intestine. What they really look like is picture 29. Go to picture 29. Take a look at that. Look at those pockmarks inside the large intestine. What puts that there? A lot of abuse. A lot of things that go in to the inner lining that irritate it. It starts with irritation. So assuming you're breastfed, assuming your genetics is decent, the inside of that large intestine is picture number one. Now inflame it. Continually inflame it. Put things in there that irritate it. What things? That's not the purpose of today's show. All garbage irritates it, including negative emotion. Lots of ulcerative colitis, lots of diverticulitis, lots of colon cancer. Lots of disease in that large intestine is rooted in emotional holding in that organ. That is an organ that compresses, constricts, and twists. It spasms to your psyche as you hold on to the things that, well, are painful to let go of, those injuries, those traumas. Those emotional events. But whatever the case, you have to understand the beginning of mayhem in that large intestine is the beginning of an inflammatory process. Your genetics is going to take you where you go after that. That same inflammatory integer is going to take one person to cancer. Another person to diverticulitis, another person to a polyp, another person to a parasite, another person to ulcerative colitis. So genes always play a role. The environment triggers the direction of the disease. Rather, I should say, the environment triggers the genetics to take the disease in the direction that you're constitutionally defined to go. You've got to have that 1-2 punch, an environmental stimulus and a genetic predisposition. But that environmental stimulus is the same in that large intestine. the totality of the ecosystem down there. The good bacteria, the bad bacteria, the amount of peristalsis, the parasites or lack of parasites, the health of the enteric nervous system, the health of the psyche. All these variables integrate to trigger or not trigger what your genetics is ultimately going to express. So if you're talking prevention, you're really not talking about prevention of cancer, prevention of polyps, prevention of ulcerative colitis, prevention of diverticulitis. You're talking about understanding the health of that system so you don't get to that genetic potential. So let's go into the health of that system. So there's some of the pathology. Now, the health of the system, that's a different story. First thing to understand about the inner lining of the large intestine that relates to the health of it, picture number 7. There's a comparison of the histology. That's the way it looks under a microscope. A comparison of the histology of the stomach, the small, and the large intestine. That large intestine has something. It has more of something, much more of something than any other part of the digestive tube. And you come on down to picture number 17. Come on down to picture number 17. Histology of the large intestine. No villi are present. You don't absorb food there. You do absorb minerals. You do absorb water. The colon is a water and electrolyte reservoir. The colon is porous. It's not that what goes into that tube just comes out. What goes into that tube is always recirculating back into the blood. You have to remember that. That is so absolutely critical to understand about the large intestine. To understand why Western science has made a gross oversight by not looking at that incredibly important ecosystem down there as part of the health of your brain and your heart and your liver is because they forgot that you recirculate what goes on down there. Much of the fluid in that large intestine, the chemicals produced in that large intestine, recirculate back into your blood. So when Jensen, Anderson, when naturopathy has always pointed to health begins in the colon, it's not just the digestive, it's not just the probiotics. We're going to get to that. It's not just the probiotics. It's that you have a reservoir that is a porous tube. And whatever you make that's toxic in there, better get out fast. The concept really is to minimize the production of toxin in the large intestine, and then whatever produced, get it out quickly. Otherwise, you are your colon in health and in sickness. So look at the histology there. The mucus or goblet cells produce mucus for lubrication. That is an understatement. Lots of mucus production down that large intestinal tube. That's a key. Because in the mucus is the truth of the matter. Go up to picture number 1 and understand that there is picture number 1. There is a layer of slime on the inside of the large intestine. It's supposed to be. If there's too much mucus, if there's not enough mucus, that lays the foundation for imbalance. Mucus is where infection lives. Mucus is used by pathogens to create biofilms. The combination of stagnant feces, the chemicals made, the probiotics that are not there that should be there, the pathogens that are there that should be there, all utilize the mucus of the large intestine to hide from the immune system. This is so important to understand. Because the same way you've got to brush the plaque off your teeth is the same way you've got to brush the plaque off the inner lining of your large intestine. That's a real concept. That is a real concept. Which means going to the bathroom 2 to 3 times a day becomes critical. Which means your roughage, your fibers become critical. But more than anything, if you really want to take it to where it needs to go, it means that the various herbs, the various nutraceuticals that are part of these cleanses to scrape the intestinal wall gently become critical. So when we go to cleansing the colon, so let's look at cleansing the colon, and you understand an aspect of cleansing this colon. By the way, look at picture number 2. Inside the large intestine, the lining of the colon is smoother than the small intestine. It has many pit-like circular glands. They absorb large amounts of water and salt, that's electrolytes, from the undigested waste food. The glands produce plenty of mucus to protect the lining and to allow the feces to slide. Then we talk about the bacteria there, but those are all mucus glands. That large intestine is about mucus, and that mucus, if it becomes stagnant, if it putrefies with the bacterial compositions and the undigested food, makes chemicals. Those chemicals go into the blood, thus a toxic body and a toxic colon. That is not, should not be up for dispute. And the organ that pays the biggest price for a stagnant colon is the lung. The lung. Coughs and mucus. Mucus in the large intestine becomes mucus in the lung. Chinese medicine understands the reciprocity between those two organs. So between the sinuses, the lung, the liver, and the colon, you have a whole inner track of communication, none of which should be removed from the group. You can't talk about a lung without talking about a large intestine. You can't talk about a large intestine without talking about a lung, and vice versa. They're all part of a very important subset in the body. So we say liver-gut dysbiosis. We say the relationship between the liver, the large intestine, and I'm going to add to that the lung and the sinuses, all combined, are of a critical relationship. But let's stay down in that large intestine. Let's base you down there. So all that mucus is down there. So when you go to, let us say, go to picture number 20. Picture number 20. Cleanse and purify thyself. That's Richard Anderson. You want to do a colon cleanse? Pick up that book and follow the instructions. Here's Dr. Jensen. That's picture 22. Dr. Jensen's Guide to Better Bowel Care. You want to do a colon cleanse? Go for it. Don't take something to just move your bowels better. Don't take just psyllium. Don't just do a parasite cleanse. This is what I'm talking about. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. I watch countless numbers of people decide on recommendation from their vitamin therapist or their naturopath or whoever to do, put psyllium in there. Promote better bowel flow. Add a probiotic. Now you should do a parasite cleanse. Here's the point. It's not that those things are bad to do. You're not going to get what you want, I promise you. I promise you, if you weigh the investment of your time and your money and your energy against your expectation, against bringing these exercises that cost you time and money to the meter of health or disease, I guarantee you, if you don't understand synergy, you're not going to get what you want. Now, this is a subtle concept. On one side, it sounds like I'm saying, don't do a parasite cleanse and don't do a probiotic every day. And, of course, that's not my point. My point is many people invest a lot of time, money, and energy and throw probiotics and throw parasite cleanses and throw poop powders and all sorts of things against diverticulitis, against parasites, against ulcerative colitis, against any of these various maladies of the large intestine, and I tell you, statistically, you don't get what you want. You have to understand synergy. The first synergetic concept that you need to understand is you have to sweep the mucus on the inside of the large intestine. This is what these colon cleanses are designed to do. And, of course, if you have pathology, you're going to be told not to do them. And, in a sense, if you're dealing with an inflamed, bleeding colitis, you shouldn't do a colon cleanse. If you're dealing with an inflamed diverticuli that's about to perforate, so perhaps you should do these under supervision. Or not. But the point is, when you're in an acute inflammatory phase, you can't go scraping the inner lining of your bowel wall. You have to be gentle. You always have to be gentle. But here's the point. No matter what you have in that intestinal tract, make no mistake about it, it is buried inside lots of toxic, stagnant mucus. And these full cleanses are designed to do a bunch of things. To sweep the inner lining away. One thing you do, and here's the synergy now, you need to fast. One thing you do is you need to fast. Why? Because when you fast, the inner lining of the intestine will throw off its garbage. When you fast, the inner lining of the large intestine will release what it's holding on the bowel wall. That is the nature of fasting. Because when you fast, you will immeasurably decrease the irritation to the inner bowel wall. And much of the energy produced by the cells, the epithelial cells, in the bowel wall, the wall of the large intestine, much of that energy will go to repair. It will go to the things that the cell uses, the columnar cell uses in the bowel wall, to rebuild itself as a consequence of being destroyed by the constant chronic irritation in the bowel wall. So why are we doing psyllium? And why are we doing parasite cleanses? And why are we doing colonics? And why are we doing this, that, and the other thing if we're not fasting? These cleanses, these colon cleanses ask you to fast. Go to broths, soups, vegetables, fruits, Now, everybody's got their variation, but the point is you have to understand why you have to reduce your food intake significantly if you're going to make a move on that bowel wall. You got to get that one straight. So there's number one. Fast. Now here's number two. Scrape with okra. Scrape with psyllium. Scrape with some sort of an agent, a scraping agent that's going to push the feces out and press it into the bowel wall. And we've all seen those excretions that we parade around in holistic medicine from cleanses. Let's look at one of these. Picture number 23. Picture 23. If you look at picture 23, you notice that the shape of that feces is corrugated. It's septated. It's like little beads along the way. And in that it's beady like that, it's beady like that because the inner lining of your large intestine is beady like that. Go up to picture 5. Go to picture 5 and keep in mind that monstrosity you just looked at. As you push out, because of the psyllium, because of the okra, the concept is eat something that absorbs water and pushes the feces out. So it presses up gently against the bowel wall and scrapes the mucus. So when the feces comes out corrugated, it means bingo, the goal has been achieved. So we're fasting and we're ingesting in these colon cleanses designed to have you fast, designed to have you bloat out the feces against the house drum, we call it, of the bowel wall. And then it looks like picture 23. Now, I have to interject. When that comes out of you in a colon cleanse, it does not mean that that's what was in you prior to the cleanse. And if you didn't get it out, then that just keeps blowing up and blowing up and blowing up and blowing up. And finally, you just about burst with toxic feces. Go to picture 24. Picture 24. That's a large intestine. Look at that. Picture 24. That's the one that Jensen used that. Schultz uses that. That's a large intestine. No, that's not a guy's legs. That's a large intestine. Take a look at that. I hope you're not having breakfast. These are rare cases. That is not reality. That's not the way it is. Just as picture 23 does not mean that if you didn't do that colon cleanse, that stuff's going to look like that, and it's going to be up there, and it's growing and getting bigger, and maybe you got 20 pounds of that inside you. That is not reality. This is where we go to the holistic left. Too far. Just like people think the bile and the olive oil in a gallbladder flush is a gallstone. These little meatballs that come out when you drink olive oil, people think are gallstones. They're not gallstones. Just as that's not what's up there. But why is that good? Why is that good? Because I said it. Because that represents, 23 represents that you have scraped mucus off the inner lining of the large intestine. And that's good. And if you synergize that, again, synergize that with fasting, that's really good too. Because the fast will loosen. The fast will allow those columnar cells in the inner lining of the large intestine to repair themselves. Because you're minimizing the irritation and less of the cell energy has to go to function, so more of it could go to repair. Just as at any fast, you have to synergize. Now, here's a third one. Here's a structural angle on this. Look at this. Picture number four. Look at picture four. You see that yellow fatty stuff? It's called the omentum. Omentum. You see the large intestine there on the bottom of that page going from the left to the right? That's the transverse colon. And what, well, you'll have to infer, take my word for it, that colon is tied to the kidney. It's tied to the stomach. It's tied to the spleen. The large intestine keeps its shape. What shape? Go to picture number five. Picture five, that's the way the large intestine sits in your abdominal cavity. Now, the reason it just doesn't fall down is because it's tied. Go to picture four. It's tied via fascia. Now, I got a great picture of fascia on picture four. See how that liver is reflected? It's lifted up, and there's that shiny, transparent material. And that shiny, transparent material is between the stomach and the liver. That's fascia. That's connective tissue. Go to picture 14. Go to picture 14. That's an idiom from Rolf trying to describe fascia. And when you look up then at picture 4, you're talking about the fascial connectivity between the large intestine and just about every organ in the body. The large intestine is held in place by fascial connections. So when you look at picture 5, look at the shape. Look at picture 6. Look at the shape of that large intestine. It's just not hanging there magically. It's hanging in a shape based upon the adhesions, the connections of fascia to the organ. Organs connected to organ. The large intestine is connected to many organs. Now, why is this important? We're talking about the ecosystem of the large intestine. We're talking about your large intestine. We're talking about your concern for diverticulitis, for polyps, for colon cancer, for ulcerative colitis, for constipation, for longevity. We're talking about all of these items. And we're about to show you what happens. That positionality of the large intestine can change. Go to picture 8. Go to picture 8. You've seen this picture before. Look at picture number 8. Picture number 8, the guy on the left and the guy on the right. Now, you've seen that before. I hope you've seen it before. If you're new to the show, you haven't. If you're new to the show, this is a picture of someone with a psoas muscle, P-S-O-A-S, on the left. That's what you call a competent one, one that works. One that doesn't work is the picture on the right. Now, let's get some better pictures here. Go to picture number 11. That's the psoas muscle, picture 11. It's coming off your thoracolumbar spine and going down into the thigh. Look at picture 10. That's the psoas muscle from the side. In front of that muscle is picture 9. Your guts are sitting on top of the psoas. Your large and small intestine are sitting on top of the psoas. Believe me, from hundreds of dissections that I've done, there's not a lot of room in there. Stuff is crowded in there. stuff tends not to move in there. This is a big deal because that psoas muscle, as it becomes short and stiff, picture eight now, you start to look like picture eight. You start to look like the guy on the right, not the guy on the left. So you all hear me talk about the psoas muscle in relationship to low back pain. But now you're talking about the psoas muscle in relationship to the space, the amount of space in your abdominal cavity that you have for that large intestine to spread out and relax is greatly influenced by the position of the psoas. So you can throw away your probiotics. You can throw away your parasite cleanses. You can throw away your colon cleanses. You can throw away your poop powders. You can throw it all away because you're wasting all your money. If you're not bringing into the synergy of fasting, the synergy of scraping, the structural issue as it relates to the psoas, that's a big deal. To be on your belly, to be on your back with your arms over your head, and to pull your belly in, and to see a concavity between your pubic bone and your belly button, a dipping in between the pubic bone and the belly button. That's a competent psoas muscle. How many can say that? To see a true concavity indicates a competent psoas. It means that large intestine is getting the physical workout it needs and the space it needs to spread itself out. You have to remember, when we talk about the health of an organ, if we're merely reducing the argument to one of nutrition, and in fact the organ is compressed in the abdominal cavity, you're sort of wasting your time. That's what Rolf's life was about, explaining that. Structure determines function. Anatomy determines physiology. It is absurd to approach your nutritional health without approaching your structural health. It's absurd. So I'll make a strong statement. It's absurd, which doesn't mean don't take your probiotics, don't do your colon cleanses, don't do your parasite cleanses. But if you're bringing holistic medicine, we call it holistic health. And when we get disgusted with how we're treated in the hospitals by your gastroenterologists, by medical doctors who have no understanding of any of this, we look to holistic medicine for answers. And my point is, without a synergy, so you hear me repeating myself, don't say you've got it. You've got it. Downstream, you've got it. Over time, you've got it. If this just makes sense to you cerebrally, it has to make sense in your being through your experience. Without the structure reciprocating, it means don't do a colon cleanse without giving attention to pulling open that psoas, which you can't do without, unless you understand how to pull open your thigh. Each of these are art forms that demand a synergy because they're all in reciprocity to each other. So no, it's not about you do a parasite cleanse and then you do a psoas stretch and then you do a colon cleanse and then you get worked on to release your emotions. No, it doesn't work that way. It works by bringing these together to make the music play better. More precisely stated, there is an art form to synergizing the various nutritional, psychological, and structural exercises to bring about an upgrade in the health of an ecosystem, whether it's the heart, the liver, the kidney, the spleen, the endocrine system, or the large intestine. I'll even go after this a little more deeply. If a gentleman, here, take a look at this. You see picture three? There you go. What do you do with that? Do you give that guy a colon cleanse? Do you do that? Do you teach that guy how to stress his psoas? Do you take that guy in picture three and bring him down to picture 12 and tell him to do that? What do you do with that? Do you put him on a 40-day fast and kill him? Send him to the hospital? What do you do? And this is the point. Once you understand the elements that you have to synergize, and once you know you're supposed to synergize them, and we're building this now, right? Fasting. Scraping the inner wall. Working towards a competent psoas. Once you understand the elements and the critical importance of synergy, well, then you can start to address how you synergize it for you. And you synergize it to the rate-limiting variable. Rate-limiting variable. Health in the journey is about focusing upon rate-limiting variables. Do you think that guy on picture three is rate-limited by his psyche? Just looking at him. How about giving up the beer? How about cutting out the diet soda? How about giving up the sugar? Too much of that, he's on his way to the hospital. How about after a month of that, reducing the calories? How about after a month of that, fasting a day a week? How about after a month of that, fasting 2 days a week? How about you don't get to second base on this guy until he gets rid of that balloon there? And that's the point. He's going to have to take these variables and synergize. You realize how many times in a day, a guy like that's being told you have a parasite. A guy like that's being told do a colon cleanse. A guy like that's being told all sorts of, he's being given all sorts of addendums, all sorts of programs, all sorts of directions, but without proper context. No synergy and no sense of how to bring these synergizing elements to him specifically. And that's all I'm going to give that concept. I tried. And I know a lot of you get this. Those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, well, I'm glad you're listening. Because you want to reduce it to, where's my probiotic? Where's my psyllium husk? Where's my poop powder? Where's my Pilates class? Where's my fasting handbook? And you're hoping to hit the home run. You're hoping to bring it to your diverticulitis, your diverticulosis, your ulcerative colitis, your polyps. You're hoping to bring it to serious concerns. You will not succeed. It is short sight. So I'll be strong there. I'll be strong in that statement. Subtleties. All right. Let's keep going. So, fasting, scraping the bowel wall, that's a colon cleanse. Opening that psoas, if you're new to the show, all my shows on exercise, low back pain, the art of stretching, I never stop on this muscle. It is one of the clinical pearls of medicine. The tone of the large intestine, the tone of the large intestine, the tone. What do I mean by the tone of the large intestine? The large intestine is like the antenna of a snail. You know, you come home at night, you're coming up the stairs and you hear crack. You kind of get squeamish because you know what you did. You stepped on one of those cute little snails. You killed the snail. defenseless little snail. Slow as a snail. Defenseless. You ever touch the antenna on a snail? How it retracts. And then you take your finger away and it comes out again. And then if you just touch it, it retracts. You just tap it. If you were a snail, you'd do the same thing. A snail is not a leopard. Not a scorpion. It's a snail. That's the way your large intestine is. Your large intestine is just like a snail's antenna. It's twisting. It's relaxing. It has a tone to it. Its tone is emotional. The emotional tone of the large intestine was given to you in utero, in gestation. It was given to you the first year, two or three of your life. Your basic relationship between your autonomic nervous system, your psycho-emotional you, mediated, mitigated via the autonomic nervous system, creating the tone of the large intestine. It means if you've got a sympathetic dominant tone to that large intestine, you will not let go of those sphincters. Sphincters. First anal sphincter, second anal sphincter, ileocecal valve. Three valves that control the peristaltic action in the large intestine are most fundamentally driven by that relationship between your psyche and your emotions. And much of this can be seen and understood by looking at the collarette of the eye. The collarette of the eye. Go to picture 25. Picture 25. Give this a second to blow up. It's stalling on me. Let's go to picture number 25. Now, that orange circle is outlining something called the collarette, like the collar to a dog, then an E and a T and a T and an E, collarette. Go to picture number 26. Picture 26. If you're looking at 25, that orange ring, you can see what that orange ring was overlaying. Look at that circle where you see the pupil, and then the color of the eye outside of the pupil, and then it meets that white line. That white line is the collarette. Whether that line is coherent or zigzaggy, collarettes have a distance from the pupil. Look at that picture, 26. From the edge of the pupil, the black, to the beginning of that white line is a distance. There are collarettes, I didn't put one in today, that hug the pupil. There are collarettes that barely exist. The distance between the pupil and the collarette tells us your autonomic tone. It tells us whether your large intestine is wrapped tight. It tells us whether or not you're anally retentive. If you've got problems in your intestine, those problems can easily be up in your head. And you can cleanse it, stretch it, and do everything you need to do. Fast it out. Do 100 Jensen cleanses. You're only doing them to meet your head. So you can let go of those sphincters. Now look at that. That guy over there, up there, way up there, picture 3. I got a feeling that guy knows how to let it out. I don't know. Offhand, I got a feeling that guy knows how to hang loose. I don't think he's anally retentive. You get my point. See the limbs? the psycho-emotional realm, the autonomic tone of the large intestine. Where that psoas sits, and thus its corresponding effect on the structure of the large intestine. Reducing food intake. Fasting, so to speak. Scraping the inner lining of the intestine. And then, of course, the colonic. The colonics. The colonics, whereupon you shoot water up there to have the water hit the inner lining of the large intestine. To what? To shake it up. To ask it to improve its tone. Jensen and Anderson, the two books there, it's all in there. The structure's not, the psyche part's not. But those full comprehensive colon cleanses, this is what you need to add to your list. This is what you need to add to your list. Not in an acute flare-up of a diverticuli. Not because someone told you you have a malignant tumor that needs to get cut out, but you're going to do a colon cleanse. I mean, people are that crazy. You have a malignancy, you get it cut. Or you do something drastic fast. A bleeding ulcerative colitis. Leave it alone until it heals up. A polyp. Your call. Chances are you should get it snipped. But preventatively, to make sure these things don't come back, this is your neighborhood. Respect the inner lining of that tube by understanding reciprocity, synergy, and the rate limiting variable. Reciprocity, synergy, and the rate limiting variable all get honed specific to you. That is the art. This is a far cry from walking into GNC or Whole Foods or wherever and saying, give me something for my colon. I heard those probiotics are really good. You see the difference. Good. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I feel good about the show. I think we're putting it together for you. I think we're eclectic. I think we're respecting what medical doctors do. I think we're respecting what the quick fix specialists are out touting on radio shows all over the country. Their special brand of parasite cleanse, their special brand of probiont, their special brand of poop powder. I think we're respecting all of that. But I want you to think about the following. I want you to think about the fact that medical doctors are good people, that Western medicine doesn't have an intrinsic problem with the holistic stuff. They just don't see enough success. They just don't see enough success. And this show is about providing you with paradigms so that you can bring yourself to success, because this stuff is real. And no matter what happens to our future, holistic medicine will retain its righteous place, but it has to upgrade itself, and that's what this show is about. All right, let's keep going. Look at this picture number 19. Picture number 19. Maybe I could get it for you. Picture 18. Yeah, go to picture 18. That's right. You're talking about your colitis. It begins up there. Remember digestion. HCL, bile, pancreatic enzymes, the food choices. Why screw all that up and then dump it into your large intestine? By the time it hits the large intestine, if the small intestine, if the stomach, if the pancreas, if the gallbladder haven't done what they're supposed to do, you're dumping a load of whatever down into the large intestine and the bacteria there. So look at the picture, bacterial ferment. Undigested carbs. That's CO2 and a lot of methane, undigested proteins, indoles, scatols, hydrogen sulfide, odor. Skatols and Indols are toxic. They make your muscles ache. They give you headaches. They make life miserable. They are not good. They are competing with the good bacteria. They are helping the parasites. They are helping the bad bacteria. So right there, undigested food. So we're talking about the large intestine, but it starts all the way up with the food choice. It goes into HCL. It goes into the bile. It goes into the pancreas. You can't ever overlook reciprocity. That's the beauty of it. It's simple, but it's not simple. Now, 32. Picture 32. Metchnikov, Nobel Prize, 1908, believed that aging is caused by toxic bacteria in the gut, and that lactic acid, that's your fermentation, that's your probiotics. Trenov, premier research labs, more than them, wild fermentation, aged sour foods. Aged sour foods that you make at home. Aged cheeses to bring in the probiotics, because the probiotics drive life as we know it, pounds of them in the large intestine, but in reciprocity, with sweeping, with fasting, with emotion, with structure. And now we begin to understand the power, the complexity, and the necessity for synergy, reciprocity, and contouring your approach to your rate-limiting variable. Your rate-limiting variable. Your rate-limiting variable is different than picture number three. Eventually, you got to do it all. It's a matter of learning how to flow within that variable. I give you something to think about over the holiday. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.